important for us to understand briefly what is a Muslim. And in the previous session we have looked at the character building guidelines that are there in the five pillars of Islam. We have looked at, to various degrees, the principles which underlie the pillars of Islam, faith and practice, etc. And in brief, we could say that a Muslim is one who has committed himself openly to submit himself to Allah. It is a commitment. A good Muslim would then be one who fulfills that commitment, one who acts on the statements that he or she makes concerning themselves in relationship to Allah. And as such, a better Muslim would be one who takes stock of himself or herself and tries to see how he or she may improve their practice of Islam. So, becoming a better Muslim fundamentally involves improvement on the basic practices of Islam that are required of us. Why I say that it is improvement is because without the basic practices, if we are not ourselves fulfilling these basic practices, then it is questionable as to whether we are in fact Muslims. So one cannot become a better Muslim if one is in fact not fulfilling what is required of us to be a Muslim. So we have a foundation, the basic pillars of Islam, which we are expected to practice to the best of our ability. However, being human beings, we are not going to fulfill all of these practices in the best form at all times. We are prone to error. We are prone to turning whatever practices that we are required to perform into ritual, to forgetting the real meaning behind these rituals, and you know, to be lost in just the outer actions. It's very easy for this to take place. We may not do so intentionally, and as such Allah, you know, does not curse us because of it. However, we are required to take stock of ourselves. We are required to look into our practices from time to time and to make sure that they are in accordance to the will of Allah. And we have to take stock just to maintain the basic practices properly. And further, to improve ourselves, it also requires that we look at what we're doing, not only make sure that it is basically in accordance with what Allah has willed from us, but also in that we are in a process of growth, a process of evolution, a process of development, not just hanging on by our fingernails. I mean, this is the basic Muslim, he's just clinging on by his fingernails. One who is a better Muslim is one who has pulled himself up, he is trying to improve, to develop, to achieve the goals that are behind the principles of Islam, the higher spiritual, moral goals that Allah has ordained for us in these pillars. And the way in which we may improve, take stock and improve, is a vast route. It is not just one thing I can say to you, you do this and you will be a better Muslim, you know, all round. No, you do this thing, you may be a better Muslim in this aspect. But the various aspects of Islam are vast. They cover the whole scope of our lives. So the improvement of that is going to require taking stock of all of the various aspects of our life and trying to improve in the various areas. Understanding what is sunnah and what is bid'ah is important from an ideological or intellectual point of view for us to know really what it is that Allah requires of us. But there are certain other aspects which have to do with what we could say are voluntary acts, which in fact make the difference between a Muslim practicing and a better Muslim. And this is contained, this idea is contained in a particular statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abu Huraira, in which he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said, I have declared war against whoever acts with hostility towards a friend of mine. The term for friend is wali, which is normally translated as saint. But we have explained in previous lectures that this refers to one who is close to Allah, one who Allah considers to be a friend of his. And Allah is a friend of that individual. That is, one who submits himself or herself to Allah automatically falls in the category of being a friend of Allah. So Allah said, this is a hadith what is called Hadith Qudsi. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrating to us something directly from Allah. He said that Allah said, I have declared war against whoever acts with hostility towards a friend of mine. My servant does not come closer to me with anything more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory for him. If he continues to come close to me with voluntary acts, I will love him. And when I love him, I become his hearing with which he hears, his sight with which he sees, his hand with which he grasps, and his feet with which he walks. And if he asks of me, I will grant him, and if he seeks my protection, I will protect him. This is reported by or in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this hadith has a number of points that it's important for us, those who seek to be better Muslims, important for us to grasp and to understand. One, Allah has said that he declares war against anyone who tries to harm one who has submitted himself or herself to Allah. That if a person commits himself or herself to serve Allah to the best of their ability, that Allah will protect them. Such a person will find enemies. This is why Allah has made the statement. When a person chooses the path of Allah, it means all of the satanic forces will be gathered against this person. And the satanic forces will appear in the form of human beings, maybe even people from their own family, their own children, parents. They will strive to turn this person back. But whenever such people gather in hostility to one who seeks to submit to Allah, Allah has said that he declares war against them. Let them know that he has declared war against them. And one who Allah has declared war against cannot succeed. It means Allah will defeat them. It means no matter what we are faced with, in the end, we will be successful. Because Allah has committed himself, has promised to defeat our enemies. Of course, it may be something that we are not able to grasp in this life, but success will ultimately be ours in the next life. It may be in this life also. You know, if Allah wills, if it is His destiny, and those who choose this path, then Allah may defeat the enemies in his lifetime or in her lifetime. But it is with Allah. When Allah chooses to give that person ultimate success. So we have to have confidence that when we choose to submit ourselves to Allah, that Allah will defend us. Allah will oppose those who strive to harm us, and ultimately we will succeed. This is confidence, this is the trust in Allah that we have to have for us to be better Muslims. Because to be better Muslims, it means making some sacrifice, means doing extra, more than just the basics. And when we do extra, as I said, there are people who don't want us to do extra. There are forces that do not want us to do extra. So we will find difficulty. And the only way that we're able to overcome that difficulty is if we are certain within ourselves that Allah is with us. So we have to have that trust in Allah. We have to have that certainty for us to grow, for us to become better Muslims. Allah goes on to say that of the things that we can do to come closer to Him, those which are most beloved to Him are the compulsory or obligatory duties. I mean, this is where we start from. When we start to take stock of ourselves, to try to improve ourselves, we have to start with the obligatory duties. We cannot start from a set of voluntary acts. If our obligatory, this is our foundation, if that is not tight, then whatever else we're doing is a waste of time. Because Allah will ask us first and foremost about our obligatory duties. See, what we find is that those people who have chosen a deviant path, under whatever title that they choose, what they will do is that they will neglect this foundation. And they will bring for you a series of voluntary things that you can do. Many, many things which will keep you very busy. But in fact, these things take you farther away from Allah rather than closer to Allah. You cannot put a voluntary act before an obligatory act. This is why, for example, when the time for prayer comes, the compulsory prayer, if we haven't done the sunnah and the iqamah is given for the compulsory prayer, we have to go and do the compulsory prayer and then we can do the sunnah act. Sunnah is voluntary. It's additional. The compulsory takes precedence over the voluntary. If you haven't made Hajj before, your mother or your father died, and they intended to make Hajj, but they didn't. Islam allows you to make Hajj for them, but not before you make Hajj for yourself. That which is compulsory on you has to be given precedence over something additional. Because you making Hajj for your parents is not compulsory. If you didn't make it, Allah will reward them anyway for their intention. If they had a sincere intention to make the Hajj, Allah will reward them for that intention. So you are not allowed to go and do that for them until you have done what is compulsory for yourself. So when we start to look at ourselves, to take stock of ourselves, to improve ourselves, we have to start with that which is obligatory on us. Because that is what is most loved to Allah. And when we say that we strive to be better Muslim, what we are saying in fact is we are striving to become more beloved to Allah.
that Allah will love us more. And the basis of that love is on the obedience to what Allah has commanded. As Allah has said, when we pointed out concerning the Sunnah and the Bid'ah, Allah has said in the Quran, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ to say to the believers, if you love Allah, you want to get closer to Allah, then follow me, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and Allah will love you. So we have to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to attain the love of Allah. And the things which the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ stressed as compulsory, these are the first things that we have to do. So Allah here confirms that for us. That this is where we have, this is our starting point. We start with the compulsory. After we have gotten the compulsory together, that is, we are regular, 5 times daily prayer, on time, Fajr, before sunrise, in the masjid in the case of the males, you know, making our prayers on time, you know, not waiting till the end of the day and praying all 5 prayers at the end of the day, or praying 2 prayers together or 3 prayers. This is not taking care of our compulsory duty. This is neglecting it. This is negligence. This is not acceptable to Allah. Praying Salah means praying it on time. Praying Fajr when Fajr comes in. And this, the Prophet ﷺ said, Fajr was most difficult on the hypocrites. So this is a sign for us. If we find that we can hardly pray Fajr, then this is a sign that we are bordering on hypocrisy. No, brothers, why don't you shift across this way so those who are coming in can just come right over here. So, after we have established the basics as they are ordained for us to establish them, then we go on to the voluntary act. And the more we do the voluntary act, the more we come closer to Allah, and Allah will love us, as He has promised, if we do additional voluntary acts. All the various acts of Islam, there are voluntary acts which are connected with all of them. So we try to do as much of them as we can. The more we do, the more we earn the love of Allah. And when this becomes a part of our life, when it becomes our way, that whenever we have an opportunity to do additional acts of worship, we do them. When this becomes our way, then Allah says that He loves such a person. And when He loves that person, He becomes the hearing with which He hears, the sight with which He sees, the hands with which He touches, the feet with which He walks. Meaning not that Allah becomes that person. This is a mistaken understanding. There are some people who actually project this from this statement of Allah's in this hadith quoted by the Prophet Muhammad Sallam. Allah does not become that individual, but He becomes the hearing of the person by which the person hears. And in the hadith, it doesn't say He becomes his ears. It says He becomes the hearing with which He hears. That is, that what He hears is what Allah wants Him to hear. Allah becomes His hearing with which He hears. In other words, He hears, He listens according to what Allah wants Him to hear. Means He avoids useless talk. If he gets into a gathering, people are talking trash, nonsense, he leaves. He may try to steer the conversation into something positive. If he finds he can't, people are insisting on talking foolishness, then he gets up and leaves. or she needs. They do not remain there listening to what Allah does not want them to hear. Because if they're talking foolishness, of course, it's going to be filled with things which are displeasing to Allah. So, such a person guards his or her hearing by either changing the course of the conversation or by leaving the area. Similarly, the sight in that the individual sees what Allah wants him to see or wants her to see. Such an individual avoids looking at things which are displeasing to Allah, whether it's in the form of magazines, videos, sites, going to places. You know, in every country there are places where there are things which are displeasing to Allah. So a person does not took himself from that situation or herself in that situation. You like to swim. You know these are the beaches where people go down there half naked. You don't say, "Well, because I like to swim, I'm going to go, I'm not going to look." No. You go put yourself in that situation, you're going to be seeing what Allah does not want you to see. So such a person lives his life in such a way that he only sees what Allah wants him to see. Of course, as human beings, it means that there's some things that are going to pass in front of your sight which Allah does not want you to see. However, the point is that you do not dwell on it. You look elsewhere. You change your circumstance. You find other options. So, you try your best. And most of your life, you will be seeing the things which are pleasing to Allah. Similarly, the hand with which he grasps, that is, the hands you earn your food, your daily needs through your hands, that what you earn is halal. What you take is halal. That is what Allah wants for you. So this is how you operate in life. You do not touch what is haram. Whether figuratively, as we said in the case of income, or literally, in the sense of, for example, the issue of shaking the hands of women. You know, this is something in Islam which is prohibited. Prophet ﷺ had said, it would be better that an iron spike be driven in your head than for you to touch a woman to whom you could be married. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ informed us. And as such, when a person has come close to Allah through these voluntary acts, they built on the basis of the compulsory acts, and Allah loves that individual, such an individual will avoid contact, physical or metaphorical, with the things which are prohibited and displeasing to Allah. And these are means for us to judge ourselves. If we think that we're doing voluntary deeds, we think that we're getting closer to Allah, but in fact, when we look at our situation, we find that we're touching or receiving things which are haram. We're looking at things which are haram. We're listening to things which are haram. It means for sure we are not amongst the beloved of Allah. We're not getting closer to Allah. We're going farther away from Allah. Because for sure, there's no middle point where you stand still. Either you're going closer to Allah or you're going away from Allah. So, we have to take stock of ourselves and try to improve our practices. Allah talks about becoming the feet with which we walk, that is, where we go to, places that we go are the places which are pleasing to Allah.
Such a person, Allah says, if he asks of me, I will grant him. Allah promises to answer the prayers of such a person. And if he seeks my protection, I will protect him. That is confirmation of the very first statement that Allah made, that whoever becomes an enemy to a friend of Allah, one who is close to Allah, who is loved by Allah, such an individual has put himself in a state of war against Allah. And Allah will protect that person and will answer their prayers. So this hadith has given us part of that method, a foundational principle in the method of becoming a better mu'min. One, we have to have confidence in Allah, that Allah will support us if we choose to serve Him, if we choose to submit to His will, to take the straight path. Whatever difficulties we face, Allah will help us, will protect us. That confidence we have to have. Otherwise, we will not be able to take that path. The path will be too difficult for us if we don't have that confidence. We'll be faced with the difficulty, we'll find ourselves, this is too much, it's better I quit, I don't want so many problems in my life. Such a person will not improve, will not become a better Muslim. First, we must have confidence in Allah's help. Second, we must take stock of the basic pillars of Islam, to be sure that we are doing these according to the way that Allah wants us to do them. Otherwise, we cannot grow. This is the basis. This is what is most pleasing to Allah. So we have to develop that correctly. Then we try to utilize our time to do voluntary acts of worship, fasting Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days in the middle of the lunar month, 13, 14, 15, 6 days after Ramadan. These are all recommended times for fasting. We try to make this a regular part of our life. Every Monday, every Thursday. Prophet had said that on Monday and Thursday, this is when the deeds are taken up to Allah. Deeds are taken up and transcribed into a book in the heavens. And he said he liked that when his deeds were lifted up, they were lifted up when he was in a state of fasting. So he recommended for us to fast every Monday and every Thursday. So we should try to make it part of our regular life. Voluntary acts that we do, that we try to make a part of our regular life pattern. Additional acts of charity, voluntary prayer, tahajjud, etc. The night, Umrah whenever we can, Hajj also if possible. We try to improve on our basic acts by doing voluntary acts which in fact improve the quality of our compulsory acts. Because the more that we do the voluntary acts also, the easier the compulsory acts become for us. The easier the compulsory acts become for us, and the more we're able to realize what it is Allah wants from us in them. And as Allah promised in this hadith, in such a person who embarks on this path, such a person will then become a true friend of Allah, Waliullah. One who will see what Allah wants him to see, or her to see, hear what Allah wants them to hear, will
do what Allah wants them to do, will go where Allah wants them to go. In that way, we can, inshallah, become better Muslims by applying this, the principles involved in this hadith which Prophet ﷺ said. Related to this hadith is another statement of the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Ibn Abbas, in which he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, نِعْمَتَانْ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصُّحَّةِ وَالْفَرَاغِ. There are two blessings about which most people are deceived, are defrauded: health and spare time. This is reported by Imam Bukhari also. Two blessings which Allah has given us: health and spare time. Most of us are defrauded. Defrauded meaning that this is something by which we could have improved the quality of our lives. However, Satan has tricked us. Satan has tricked us, and we have not been able to benefit from them. So we have been defrauded, we have been deceived, we have been tricked. Good health, why? Because people, when they have good health, there's so much of the voluntary things that they can do, but they don't do it. People think, when I get old, this is when I'll become a pious person. What happens though, that when people, you know, it's not just getting old. People get old, they get feeble. You can lose your health, you can become sick. And then, even to do the compulsory act becomes a great strain. So all your plans about doing all these voluntary acts now in your old age, when you had nothing else to do, right? You find yourself in a situation where you can hardly even do the compulsory. So you've been deceived, you've been fooled. The time when you should have been doing the maximum of voluntary acts was when you had good health, when you were still relatively young. This is when we have to try to do the maximum. Similarly, when we have spare time, we try to utilize that spare time to the maximum, because we have no guarantee that we will have that spare time in the future. You know, oftentimes we may have something good in mind to do, but then we find some kind of excuse to put it off. Whether it's reading Quran or doing extra prayers, extra fast, whatever, we find that some excuses come up to us. We say, "Oh, I'll do it next week," or "I'll do it tomorrow," whatever. See what happens? This is how Satan defrauds us. It's very important that the time that we have, we make the maximum of it. This should be our approach. Whatever spare time we have, we should try to utilize it in the service of Allah, in doing things which are pleasing to Allah. It doesn't mean that to do that one becomes, you know, like a monk, you know, a person who doesn't have any kind of life, you know, beyond he's just in the masjid, and from the masjid he goes home to eat and he comes back to the masjid. No, Islam is not saying this is not the way of the Prophet Muhammad. He didn't spend all his time in the masjid. He lived a complete life. However, what he did was that whatever time that he had, he utilized it in things which were pleasing to Allah. Because within those things, there are things which are pleasing to us also. It doesn't mean that whatever is pleasing to Allah is displeasing to us. No. Many of the things which Allah has prescribed for us, which are pleasing to Him, have in it pleasure for ourselves also. We have to find those things. We have to utilize the time to do those things, so that whatever of our time that we live, it will be of benefit to us on the day of judgment.
The Prophet had further said in a hadith reported by Abu Huraira and collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةِ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. The hellfire is veiled or veiled by desires, and paradise by dislikes and calamities. We improve ourselves, we become better Muslims by utilizing our health to do as many voluntary acts as we can, by utilizing our spare time in things which are pleasing to Allah. This is a way of improving the quality of our life, improving our service to Allah, becoming better Muslims. At the same time, we have to be aware that the veil on the hellfire is our desires. The veil on the hellfire is our desires. Meaning what? Meaning, if we follow our desires, we'll go to hell. If we just do whatever we feel like doing, whatever we want to do, whatever is pleasing to us, we will end up in hell. Because our desires, if we do not keep them within the bounds that Islam has set, they become destructive to us and to our family, to our community, to the society. This is what is meant by the veil on hell is our desires. Removing of the veil is submission to the desires. Similarly, the veil on paradise are things which are not necessarily pleasant to us. Many of the things which are not pleasant to us make up the veil on paradise. Meaning that we have to deal with many things which are unpleasant to us if we are to earn paradise for ourselves. We have to be clear on that. Giving zakah is not pleasant. Nobody likes to give up their money, the money that they feel they've worked so hard for. Nobody likes to do this. It's not pleasant. It's something we have to struggle with ourselves about. And we have to do this unpleasant thing for us to grow, to become closer to Allah, for us to fulfill our duty to Allah. Similarly, Hajj is not a picnic. People go to Hajj thinking it's a picnic, but once they get there and they get into the crowds and the pressure and everything, it turns into something else. To perform Hajj in the way that the Prophet ﷺ prescribed for us to perform Hajj, it is not pleasant. It means suffering. People stepping on our feet, elbowing us, knocking us down, and we are not reacting. See? It becomes pleasurable to react. You know, according to Western psychology, they tell you if you're mad about something, you should get it off your chest. You know, let it out. This is not the Islamic way. Sure, it's pleasurable. You feel better after. You scream at somebody or you hit them or whatever. You feel a lot better. But the way, the correct way, is to control yourself. As Abu Bakr said, don't get angry. You have to control your anger. This is not a pleasant thing. To fight with yourself, to control your anger, to bear the suffering that the people will put you through, this is not pleasant. But that's the way to paradise. for us to become better Muslims, to become the type of Muslims who will earn paradise, we have to deal with this reality. We have to suffer. To further emphasize that, the Prophet ﷺ was reported by Maymuna to have said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." This world is a prison for the believer and paradise for the disbeliever. It's the same concept. Prison for the believer because he cannot let his or her desires just run wild, do anything they feel like. They're in a prison. They have to control their desires. It's a prison which they set for themselves. Whereas a disbeliever, they can do anything they feel like. That's paradise. You know, when Allah describes paradise for us, you know, when we enter paradise, whatever you wish. That's how he describes it. You can have there whatever you wish. That's paradise. For the believer, that's in the next life, not in this life. If we're having whatever we wish, this is what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us. If we're having whatever we wish, then we are in the paradise of the disbeliever, which is ultimately hell. Leads to hell. That's where the disbeliever ends up, in hell. So it means that we're doing whatever we feel to do now. It means that we are headed for hell. For us to realize, to grow, to be better Muslims, we have to come to grips with this reality. That we are not free in this life to do as we feel, as we please, as we wish. Because we seek paradise in the next. We trade the freedom to do whatever we wish in this life for that complete freedom in the next life. Because in this life, even though you try to do whatever you wish, you can't. You know, the freest of the kafirs, disbelievers, who have all the money and everything, still, they can't do everything they want to do. There's always things they can't do. This is why they end up into corruption, destroying their own lives, etc. Because there's no end. You can't do it all. However, in the next life, it is possible to do whatever you wish. In the full sense. So we trade, knowing in this life it is not really possible. We trade it for that in the next. This is what we do to become better Muslims. We have to make this trade. If we don't make this trade, we cannot become better Muslims. We may manage just to do the basics, but if we are giving rein to our desires, even the basics will be destroyed. We will only be going through ritual. Our basics will be ritualistic basics. We pray five times, but we'll be doing everything that the prayer is supposed to prevent. We fast, and we will be the worst of people. Most unkind, ungenerous. So, our pillars, our foundation becomes a blind ritual. Because we have not traded the freedom to do what we wish in this life for it in the next. On another occasion, Ibn Umar reported that the Prophet ﷺ took a hold of his shoulders and said to him,